Hi everyone, and welcome to the Say As It Is with Pete podcast series. I'm Pete, your host, and each week I will bring you some frank and honest conversations covering various topics from learning and development, friendships, funding, HR, strengths, recruitment, ESG, well-being, ED&I, employability, and much, much more. So let's get this week's episode underway and say as it is.
Hey everybody, it's Pete, your host of this wonderful Say As It Is with Pete podcast series. Now, I have been a little bit silent for a while because I have been extremely busy within my personal and work life. So I haven't had time to sit down and do some episodes. And I'm still in season three, which by now I should be finishing off season three and halfway through season four. So didn't quite go according to plan, season three. So got some catching up to do. And then we are going to kick off season four later this year. But in this episode, I'm going to be talking about recruitment. Yes, the old age topic of recruitment and how recruitment looks now in 2025. Now, as we know, the government announced in its budget last October, or October just gone, that there were certain increases in taxes. So the employer's contribution has gone up from 13.5% to 15%, and the threshold that employers would pay NI on has dropped from 9,000 down to 5,000. So this is all having a big impact on employers, from large to small. Now, what you'll probably see is that a lot of employers that were recruiting have stopped recruiting. But there are still some employers that are still recruiting for those key roles they need that they have to fill. But roles that they can put off for a little bit, they're putting off. So some companies, like my own company that I work with, not my personal company, but a company I do my day job with, have put recruitment on hold for kind of head office and senior roles and above for the next 3 months with a review. Unless it's desperately, desperately needed, then we would look to recruit. But currently it's on hold. So any recruitment plans, etc., that I had to park as such. And I totally understand why. Look, it's tough out there. And when these announcements were made, employers were kind of a little bit grumpy and, you know, not sure and not how it goes. And look, there are lots of employers that I speak to and lots of people that I've had conversations with that have said they don't know how it's going to look. You know, it's okay up until April, and then from April, when these new rates come in, it's going to be a challenging time. So it's easy to hold out now and just float with what you've got as an employer, and then just ride it out, see how it goes, and see what happens. Now, due to this, for those avid job seekers that are currently looking, that throws some challenges into the pipeline for you. So this episode is going to look at challenging both sides, not challenging both sides, but really drawing your attention to both sides. So the first side for employers, obviously employers will be, you're going to be conscious, you're going to only recruit what you need to recruit for when you need to recruit it. And then what you're going to be doing is just putting a freeze on everything. And that's what we're seeing now. So in the recruitment market, we see that a lot of employers are, you know, making those phone calls and those decisions to say, look, we're not going to proceed with interviews. Really, really sorry. You know, we'll pick this up in a couple of months. And then if you're still looking, we will hopefully put you in for the process for an interview. If not, don't worry. So what you'll probably find as an employer is that if you have a recruitment freeze and you do have potential candidates, be a clever cookie. Put this in your pipeline. Because you can reach out to these candidates and say, listen, this is what I just said now. Look, we are currently putting a hold at the moment. We're going to be reviewing in the next 2 to 3 months. So we will, you will be the first to be reached out to if you are still looking and still interested, because that's what we want to do. We still want to value your application. And by doing that, what you're doing as an employer is you're building your talent pipeline. Yes, that's what it's called, a talent pipeline. Because you're parking candidates now that you could potentially call upon when you're ready to re-recruit for that position. And that's a smart thing to do, and it's a very clever cookie technique. because you're building your pipeline already. You've already got those candidates. Keep engaged with them as well. So don't just park them and not speak to them for the next 3 months. Engage with them. Still talk to them and say, look, we're still thinking about you. Don't worry, we haven't forgot about your application. Things haven't changed yet, but you know, we are still aware you're here. But if your circumstances change, let us know, as vice versa. But we're still keen, so please bear with us. And by showing that you're engaged with those candidates in that talent pool, keeps them keen and keeps them engaged with you. Now, there is something that I'm able to offer you guys as well as employers that you can potentially get your candidates to start looking at and working on, is something called StrengthScope Interview. And that kind of looks at their unique 7 strengths as well as their bubbling unders and their potential drainers. Now, what I will say is it only focuses on their strengths. So if you want to know more, reach out to me and let me know, because it works for many employers and it's a great tool and it's a great holding tool. So, you know, it gives you a bit more insight into that individual, but it also helps that individual out as well. So even if you don't proceed with them, they've had an opportunity to engage with you, find out their strengths, plan for an interview, and get ready. But also on that side, share with them some interview questions, like say, listen, you know, we're still thinking of you. Here's some interview questions. Here's a StrengthScope interview assessment. Get this done. This keeps you engaged. We're still interested. We're still keen. Don't lose that, because what then happens is that when you don't make any contact with them over that period of time and then you do reach out, you then find that those individuals have totally, totally lost interest. Okay? They're not bothered. That you, because you've not reached out to them, they're not really bothered, they're disengaged, you've lost them, you're going to have to post that advert, you're going to have to go through the screening process again, it's just a waste of time and effort. So employers, be savvy, engage with these people regardless, whether it's on a bi-weekly or monthly basis, whether you get them to their StrengthScope interview assessment, so hint, hint, reach out to me, Pete@creativemind.zone, and I will help you with that, or just DM me if you know me on LinkedIn. But keep them engaged, send them some interview questions, just get them thinking, and keep that engagement, because it will be a lifesaver. It really, really will be. Now, that's for employers, but now let's look at the job seeker. Yes, it's 2025, new year, new career, new opportunities. Well, yes and no. As I already said, the job market is kind of slowing down slightly, and there's not a fear of a recession. It's just people are kind of a little bit cautious on what's happening and how this new in contribution rates are going to have an impact. And there's some realities on both sides for the job seeker. Now, as a job seeker, you're either currently unemployed looking for work, or you're currently employed looking for work. Now, if you're unemployed looking for work, you're probably claiming benefits and things, which is perfect. Keep claiming them. Keep doing your journal online to show that you're actively looking for work. You know, keep looking. Don't get disheartened. There are employers out there. Look, even if you have to go and stack shelves in Tesco's, or you have to go work in Lidl or Aldi, or you have to clean toilets for a few months, do it, because it's money in your pocket and it puts food on the table and a roof over your head. Okay, don't be so self-centered and egoed, because, you know, it's a job. Yeah, and I was always brought up to be, a job is a job. No matter what it is, a job is a job. So do it. Even if it's doing Amazon deliveries if you drive, or, you know, part-time postman, you know, whatever it does and it gives you some money, do it. And I'm going to say this to job seekers that are unemployed looking for work, stop with the 16 hours, stop with the 20 hours. You numbnuts. You can claim up to 30 working hours before it affects your benefits. Okay, so the cap really is 30 hours, not 16, not 20, 30. So wake up, get a little bit more money, which is great help for you. It doesn't really affect your benefits at all until you go over those 30 hours. Research it, look at it, it's there. Do it, because doing 16 hours or doing, you know, 20 hours, to some employers, that's not enough. But if you can give them up to 30 hours, which is perfect, and it works well for you with your benefits, doesn't affect them, works well for an employer, happy days. Do it. But don't give up on the job front, because although it's a little bit slow at the moment, keep going, keep going, keep going. And you can go back to some of my previous podcasts with some tips and tricks on recruitment and how you can kind of get through the recruitment process and how you can get your CV up there in the top, you know, kind of 10, so you get an interview. But don't give up. So if you're a job seeker that's unemployed, keep looking for work. There's also other things you can do as well as going to the job centre, which I know some people think that's boring and mundane and you're turning up and it's pointless. And job centres aren't like what they used to be honest. And I wish they went back to what they used to be. You know, you have to go forward, you have to go backwards to go forward again. But the whole job centre needs a reform anyway, and that's another podcast episode. But what I would say is go to the job centre, apply online, make your search for what you want the job to be, okay? Search for those key jobs you want, but keep going at it, okay? Don't give up. But if you can get a part-time job somewhere, whether it is stacking shelves, cleaning toilets, wherever it may be, just do it. Yeah, even go work in a coffee shop. Doesn't really matter. Just go and do it. It's not, no job is beneath us, okay? No job is beneath us. So just do it, okay? Now, and then don't give up. But the key thing here is also for those people that are in work looking for a job. And don't tell me you're not, because I know a lot of people that are working that are not probably happy or feel that it's probably time to move on and are sneakily looking for work, whether it be in their breaks or when they have a spare 5 minutes at their desk, or when they come home, or on they're on the train or they get notifications. I ain't gonna lie, I get notifications on my phone for positions that would suit me better. Or suit me as an individual for the career and the industry I'm in. So I'm always getting those anyway, which is good to see what's out there and what the salaries are. But you have to be realistic on this one now. So those that are employed looking for work, the job you've got right now, you're not going to probably like me saying this, keep it. Keep your head down, do your job, and keep your job. Simple as. Don't get into trouble, don't rock any boats, just do your job. Now, the reason why I say that is because of what's going on with the employer contributions and the recruitment freeze at the moment. Employers don't know what that kind of is going to look like. So most employers have, as I said, have put recruitment on hold for 3 months. They're going to wait for 3 months and then see what happens. But in realistic terms, employers are actually going to be putting recruitment freeze for 6 to 9 months. In a realistic world, because the next 3 months they're going to see how they can survive not filling those positions. If they can cope, fantastic, operationally they can cope. If not, they're going to say, okay, we'll have to take the hit, we're going to need one or two people. But then from April, May, June, they're not going to hire unless they're desperate. And then July, August, September, they probably won't do any hiring again, because in those 3 to 6 to 9 months, well, really that kind of 3 to 6 months really theoretically would be from April, which really count. The first 3 months of it really is, can we cope with the staffing levels we've got? That's what they're doing. And then after they've done that first initial 3 months, the next 6 months are going to be the key, because they're going to see the cash flow and everything else come in and how it's balancing and working and what they're doing, to then make the decision whether they reopen up recruitment or not for the time being. So what you'll also see is most employers will just probably ride out the next kind of 12 months to see how it goes. So as a employed person looking for their next potential dream job or their next move within their industry or to a different industry or something completely different, if you're seeing jobs, still go ahead and apply. Still go ahead and apply for them. But just be careful, okay? Don't make any rash decisions. Don't go blabbering around the office like, oh, I've applied for 20 jobs, I'm not happy, I'm going to leave. Because when people hear that, you're earmarked, unfortunately. And some senior leaders will earmark you and go, well, if they're not happy in their job, well, there's no point in hiring them. Let's get rid of them then. They want to leave? Let them leave. Let's get rid of them now. What can we do to get rid of them? Hey, how long have they been here? Oh, under 2 years. Yep, we can get them. Yep, off you go. Been over 2 years? Well, a little bit difficult. What can we do to get rid of them? Yeah, they're not happy. Well, I don't want them here if they're not happy. So, that's not in every business, but people are listening. People have their eyes wide open right now. So, keep your mouth stump and just put your head down, get on with your work, do what you need to do, go home. Don't rock the boat. Keep the current job you got. Okay, now I know some people are looking for higher salaries with obviously the cost of living and everything going up. I get it. in your existing job, you're probably going to find that you may not get a pay rise that you're expecting. Some employers are not going to give pay rises this year because of the increase. They can't afford pay rises and take the new increase hit. So some employers are sacrificing giving a pay rise. Some are not going to give the 3% as normal. Some are only going to give probably, you know, 1.5%, maybe 2%. That's it. You're not going to get the amazing pay rise you're going to get. Now, if you do get that amazing pay rise from your employer and you get 3-6% increase, well, happy days. You're in for a win. But realistically, guys, if you're employed, you may not get the bonus or pay rise. Well, I did not say bonus, but you may not get the pay rise you're looking for. So just hold fire, because I'm going to be honest. Whatever your salary is now, that's your salary for the next 12 months. That's what you've got a budget for. That's your, whether you've got to cut your subscriptions down on certain things, you've got a budget shop. You know, if you're used to shopping in Waitrose or Sainsbury's and paying for the finest foods, you know, but you now got a budget and buy the Tesco value, the Sainsbury's value, the Waitrose value, which is still pretty expensive. That's what you're going to have to do. If you're going to have to think of alternates to think, do you know what? I'm not going to buy a lot. I'm going to do meal prep and just cook a batch of food for the week and cook it off and stick it in the fridge or the freezer, and we'll take that. People are going to be more financially aware this year, and financial well-being is a key aspect. And I had a conversation with a company today looking at financial well-being and how that's all done, and it was quite interesting. And I will come on to financial well-being in a different episode, because I think that's quite a key thing at the moment. But all I'm saying to you is, if you're employed and you have a job and you're looking for your next kind of career move, the number one golden ticket right now is keep the job you've got, okay? Keep the one you got. As they say, keep your head down, your mouth shut, don't rock the boat, do what you need to do, and that's it. Your salary is the only salary that you're on now that you're going to get for the whole year. Don't expect a pay rise, because some may get it, some may not. Those that get it may not even get what they expected, okay? And maybe even less than what they expected. So don't budget for anything more. Don't live out of your means. Don't try and live beyond what you can live, yeah? And as I said, I'll do another episode on kind of financial well-being anyway. But what I'm trying to say is 2025's recruitment is going to be a challenge. So if you're currently looking for work, just be aware there is currently a recruitment freeze for the first 3 months of the year. And then there's a potential another 6 months from there. So come the end of March, April to September, there is potential recruitment freeze. Because, as I said, employers do not know how their business will look with the new 15% increase. Now, some employers have been looking at it, and you know, over the last couple of months, they've been budgeting and strategically looking at things. So if you've been a smart cookie as an employer and you have been strategically planning, and the chief financial officers are doing their jobs with the CEOs and the COOs, they're making good decisions, and the decisions they're making, some people are not going to be happy with them, with recruitment freezes, etc., then that's fine. Yeah, that's as it is. That's how it's going to be. So just be prepared. I need you to wake up and smell the coffee, because recruitment for 2025 is going to be a challenge. So I've been putting off this podcast for a while thinking, do I do this? Do I not? But as the title of my podcast show is Say As It Is, guys, I'm saying as it is. You've got to understand, and you've got to wake up and smell the reality on this, because recruitment is always going to be there, but you have to understand there's always challenges in recruitment. People say, oh, well, you know, there's not that many jobs around, there's a recession. It's not necessarily a recession. It just means that companies are being cautious, because no one was expecting this, you know, 13.5-15%. Then, you know, everything else that came with it. And then you as employees, you're kind of sitting there going, huh? What? What are you doing? You want us to employ more people, but you're making it difficult. And I think that's how employers are seeing it at the moment. the government is making it a little bit difficult for us to employ people as employers, but they want us to employ people. So I recently saw something in FE Weekly about the SWAP program, which was getting people into skilled, worked-based placements. And they've been a flop because not many employers get involved in them. There's not many people attending them. It's just been a flop. And I hate to say this, the government's employment incentives and employment programs are programs that have just been picked up, dusted off from the last government, reshaped or rebranded, and then pushed out the door. And it's just a recycle. That's all it is. I've been in teaching, education, recruitment for a long time now, and I can see the repeats and the recycles. And when someone says, oh my God, look at this, has just come out. Yeah, it's been done before, but it was done under a different name. And a lot of people that work in the recruitment industry and within education stuff will see that and go, yeah, we've seen that before. Yep, it's just another version, but jazzed up a little bit more, a little bit more bling on it. So, you know, I don't foresee many things on these employment programs from the government. There are other companies like People Plus, Get Set, and other companies out there that are focused on getting people into work. And I do a lot of work with People Plus, and, you know, we work together. They support with certain areas that we are in. So they've supported with Glasgow. They're now supporting on a new project with me that I'm doing for Liverpool on the social value front to recruit locals in Liverpool into work. So doing a 2-week training program that we've kind of designed and delivered together. And at the end of that, we give guaranteed interviews and hopefully put them into work. If we can't put them into work, then they're going to pipeline. And as soon as those jobs come up, they're the people that we're taking. So my pipeline is already there and I'm engaged with them. So if you want to know more about that, please reach out to me. I can put you in contact with the wonderful Liz Square at People Plus, who is fantastic and I do a lot with anyway. So and I know it sounds like I'm plugging these guys, but it's tried and tested. It works. So I'm going to say it, right? Now, you've got to understand, as I said, with all of this, as a job seeker, you need to play it safe. So if you're unemployed and looking for work, if a job comes up and it's stacking shelves, cleaning toilets, don't think it's beneath you. If it's a decent wage, and it gives you that extra bit of money and it puts food on the table and a bit towards your roof over the head and to pay your bills and the gas and electric and whatever it may be, take it. And as I said, this 16 and 20 hours, if I hear it, I will scream. It's 30 hours before it starts affecting your benefits. Okay. So, you know, if you get the opportunity to get a job, take it. Be grateful. Give it a go. Even if it doesn't work out, give it a go. Okay. Why you look for that other job that's more permanent. Okay. It helps with your you know, your skills and experience. It gets you back into socializing, gets you back into the way of the working world, and it helps you build those skills again. Okay. But if you are currently working and you have a job, that's your golden ticket. Keep it. That's forget your boyfriend, forget your husband, forget your girlfriend, forget your lifelong partner, wherever it is, whoever you're with, forget them, forget your cat, forget your dog. They're not important. Right, I'm probably gonna get a backlash for that. They're not important. Your job's important right now. And I'm not mean that you work 24 hours to keep your job. I mean, your job is fundamentally key. You want to do everything you can to keep your job, right? So just head down, do your job, you know, crack on. If you do look for work and you do apply for jobs and you do go for interviews, good for you. Just make sure that you are asking the right questions. And what I will probably do is I'm going to do 2 extra podcasts, one on financial well-being and one on going for interviews and how to best approach interviews. Because to me, I'm going to say this, CVs do not exist. I don't believe in CVs, and I will do in interview podcasts, I will explain why I don't believe in CVs. CVs are done and dusted. A bit like the old record of achievements we had when I was at school. They were great, fantastic. Were they ever used? I used to take them to all my interviews, but they're redundant. I haven't used mine for donkey's years. But I don't think CVs are valid anymore. And I think I may even do a separate podcast on that to employers, why CVs are dead. But anyway, as I say, if you're actively in a job looking for work and you get an interview, good luck to you. But as I say, keep your job, keep your head down, do what you need to do. Just realise some realistic things. You may not get a pay rise this year, and the current salary you're on is going to be the only salary you're on. So if you pick up a part-time job at a weekend, good for you, but just be careful, because obviously with a second job, you are going to get taxed on that one as well. So just be careful. You might pay a bit of a higher tax on the second job rather than the first job. So just be prepared that if you do kind of evening work or you do weekend work for a few hours, just be mindful of that. I would say just see how the first kind of month goes on that, and what you get, and then that kind of gives you an idea of kind of the tax you're paying, everything else. So look, I could waffle on for this for ages. It's been 25 minutes now, so I'm going to kind of wrap up. I think I've kind of summarized a bit already. So if you're an employer, number one, if you have stopped recruitment for the next 3 to 6 or 9 months, if you have already got candidates that have applied for vacancies and you shortlisted for interviews, keep them engaged. Put them in your pipeline. As I said, reach out to me and I can talk to you about StrengthsScope interview, how you can engage individual and help them prepare for their interview in knowing what their strengths are. Also, you can send them interview questions and kind of get them engaged in that way, or have bi-weekly or monthly emails to them saying, we are still aware you're there. Hopefully you're still interested. We're still keen to interview you. As soon as recruitment opens again, you will be the first person we book in. Keep them keen. Yeah. If you're a job seeker who is unemployed and looking for work, I know it's a challenge. Don't give up. There are jobs out there. There are employers that are actually recruiting. As I say, even if you get a entry-level job, whether it's stacking shelves, cleaning toilets, whatever it may be, take that job, okay? It's going to help you rebuild your social skills, put all those skills that you've got that you've gained in previous jobs back into practice. It's going to help you socialise more, get you out of the house, get you engaged. It's going to be really beneficial to you as well for your mental health and well-being. And again, don't stick to the 16, don't stick to the 20 hours. You can do up to 30 hours without being affected on your benefits. And just give it a go, but keep job hunting until you find the job you want. And you will get it, all right? And for those that are currently in work, currently looking for a new job or career or their next big move, be mindful of these things. If you get a job and you go for an interview and you're successful, well done and good luck. Or I should say good luck and well done. But also just remember these key things. Your job is your golden ticket right now. Keep it. Look after it. It's your baby. Yeah. Secondly, with this, just be aware that you may not get the 3% or plus that you are expecting for a pay rise in April. It may be, excuse me. Sorry for that. It may be less. Okay. So it may be 1.5%, maybe 2%, not the 3, 4, 5, or 6% that you're looking for. So be mindful of that. But just think, if you're budgeting this year, just think that all you're going to be budgeting is from is your current salary. And that's your safe net, okay? Budget on that. And then everything else will come through. Make sure you're budgeting correctly. As I say, I will be doing a financial well-being podcast. I will be doing an interview, going for interview podcasts, and a CVs Are Dead podcast as well. So keep an eye out for those, as I will be recording those over the next couple of days and pushing them out, because I do have to catch up on my episodes. As I said, I'm behind. I should be halfway through season 4, and I'm still on season 3. What am I doing, Pete? What am I doing? But don't worry, I am back with force. So guys, listen, I hope this has been a little bit of a golden nugget. I hope it's kind of shone the light a little bit more on how recruitment is looking right now, and just giving you a bit of that sense of reality of how it looks. And look, even if you are struggling to find your next career move or you're struggling to find a job, do not give up, okay? Go back and listen to some of my previous podcasts on recruitment, because I've given some really good golden nuggets and tips in those to help you. And if you have a question about recruiting or recruitment or job seeking or things, or you want to know how to get in touch with People Plus UK, or you want to get in touch with Get Set or anybody else like that, just let me know and I can put you in touch with them. But all I'll do is in the description of this podcast, I will put their websites in there as well. Reach out to them. They're there to support. They're there to get you to where you need to be. But guys, listen, it's been a pleasure having you listen to this episode of Say As It Is with Pete. And again, I have been your ever loving host, Pete. And again, you can always listen back to previous episodes, as I've said, via Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get to listen to this from, listen to it. If you think you've got some clear information from this, or you feel it's good for anybody else, please share this podcast with them. The more, the merrier. And if you are ever interested in joining one of my podcasts to talk about one of the many topics that I talk about and have those honest, frank conversations, then please reach out to me. I would love to have you on, instead of you all having to listen to me all the time. So until next time, keep safe, keep warm in this cold weather, and I will see you on the next episode.